For anyone visiting and living in central Tokyo, come visit the Nakameguro Tap Room from Baird Brewery. Opened in 2008, Nakameguro Tap Room is the first Tokyo area tap room from Baird Brewery. Their kitchen specializes in New Haven style appeats, which I have told you is the best style of Neapolitan pizza. New Haven style places a high emphasis on high temperature baking, fresh seasonal toppings, and a crispy light crust. Combined with all the classic Japan-based Baird beers on tap, enjoy all vintage beer hall feels at Nakameguro Tap Room. There's even a sofa area and a large TV screen great for sporting events. Only a 2-minute walk from Nakameguro Station, the tap room is open daily until 10 p.m. For more information, visit BairdBeer.com.
There's a few unis or like technical institutions, but honestly, there is great designers in Bolivia.
Yeah.
But I feel like the technique when it comes to sewing or pattern making, there's still a long way, and I would love to bring Japanese technique into Bolivia. So yeah, I mean, ever since I was a kid, I used to go with my mom to different Japanese culture events, and I'll see their kimonos, even like art crap, you know, it's like really komakai detail. So I'm always like, whoa, Japanese people, Japanese art and their technique, that's amazing, you know, like it takes a lot of knowledge to get to do that. And I knew I could study fashion design in Bolivia, but even like within South America, I wouldn't say Bolivia is there as a fashion capital, you know? So, and also I was learning Japanese when I was a kid, so I told myself, if I'm learning, I wanna, you know, use it, so.
Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill, cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides sushi and sumo, anime, and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on, people that are hungry for making it, and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. Hola, señor y señoritas. 最近 元気 desu ka? I am your host, Mel Catalan, and welcome to the Made in Japan podcast. How are you, all of you doing these days? It's been a minute since I've been back, but I am thrilled that I'm back. But first, I would like to let you guys know that Made in Japan podcast is a mostly donation-based, and recently I've just updated my Ko-fi page. That's ko-fi.com/Made in Japan podcast. Feel free to donate, and you can provide support for the production of this podcast and beverages for my guests. And so, yes, as I said before, I am thrilled, and if you noticed on top of this intro, I just did a little whammy multilingual bammy thing. I don't know what to say with that, but I'm thrilled because I have a guest. She goes by the name of Eli Tiamo. She is a Bolivian Japanese fashion designer, and it was a fortunate meeting because I've wanted to have someone like Eli to promote someone in the Nikkei community. And Nikkei means someone who is of Japanese descent from, you know, a foreign country. And she's here on this episode, and she's going to talk about her story as a just recent graduate of the renowned Bunka Fashion College here in Tokyo. And she, you know, she graduated and she's on her way to trying to make it in Japan and, of course, represent her Bolivian roots. So I had her on and we're just going to go from there. Anyways, this is Eli Tiamo, an up-and-coming fashion designer here in Tokyo. And here we go.
My perfect Sunday?
Yeah.
What?
If you weren't doing a podcast,
okay,
what would you want to do?
Man, I love sleeping. I don't know. I feel like ever since I met my boyfriend, it's like I realized how important it is to sleep.
Yeah.
And if it was for me, I would just sleep until like 3 p.m. I'm just not 3 p.m., but you get me, right? It's like you better have a good sleep. You know, if you want to be creative, yeah. What else? I love cleaning. It's kind of like a detox for me.
All right, so which type of cleaning? Because for me, washing the dishes is like way better than like cleaning the floor.
I don't know, I like it all. I don't know, it depends on my mood, you know? Like sometimes I just want to clean, you know, or just like wash dishes or just like do laundry and be outside, hanging all the clothes, I don't know. I feel like even my art, like everything, the way I dress, the way I do my makeup, like every single little thing, even like which language I can speak more, you know?
Okay.
Like everything changes within a day, so yeah, I don't know.
Okay, that sounds like a really cool Sunday. It sounds not exciting.
And I mean, thank you. I mean, what else? Breakfast. I love breakfast.
Like, yes.
I mean, it'll be brunch already.
Okay.
I'm not gonna wake up Sunday morning to prepare breakfast. So yeah, brunch, omelette, scrambled eggs, toast. Just like be in a food coma for the rest of the day because of brunch.
Yeah, you gotta have a lot of scrambled eggs. Lots of butter in the scrambled eggs for me.
Really? I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like just a little bit, so you can have like a little taste of butter. If that's it. Like, okay. I don't know. I feel like my hands are gonna be greasy, and I'm like.
Well, Ellie, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm actually very honored that this is your very first podcast.
Oh my god, it is. To be honest, I was like yesterday night telling Aiden, my boyfriend, like I'm pretty nervous, like. Sometimes I just wake up like Japanese and like even my Spanish is like so bad. I started like speaking, I don't know.
You've done interviews before, right? Like.
Have I?
I've seen like website articles of like.
Oh yeah, but you know like I'm not talking, so.
So I got the real you.
Here I am, mama.
But so we're here because I wanted to know a lot, like. We had friends of friends, and one specific friend, happens to be behind me, told me, he's like, this girl's got a story. I'm like, alright, I gotta hear this, so...
He's just,
I don't know. I don't know if I really trust him that well, but when I first met you, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You've got something going on, so...
I adore him, mi hermano.
So, tell me, so, first off... Are you mixed?
Yeah, I'm Bolivian Japanese.
That is awesome. So how do I say that? Bolivianese?
I don't know. I don't even know. Like I'm still on the way to know who I am because I'm like I don't know.
Wait, were you born in Bolivia?
I was born and raised in Bolivia,
awesome.
And then when I was 17 after high school, I just came to live, boom, Japan.
Okay.
Yeah.
You gotta tell me about Bolivia because I mean I've never been to South America and I was watching Narcos. You know Narcos?
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I need to brush up on my Spanish. And I really want to go to Medellin.
Oh my god, all you have to know is like tequila, party, fiesta, you know, like
And I'm like, I've seen pictures on Instagram of friends visiting Colombia, Bolivia, Peru. I'm like, this sounds like a really cool place.
Man, you have to. Like I don't know, like
I know.
What have you been doing with your life? You have to go to South America.
But you know, I look at you and I think about your energy, your spirit. It's very similar to me as a Filipino American.
Oh yeah.
Filipinos,
yeah.
South Bolivians. I think you.
Yeah.
It's like a match made.
Yeah. Hermanos.
So yeah, tell me about Bolivia.
Oh man, I miss so much Bolivia. Like every single day, I just miss I miss the food. I miss my family, of course. Like friends, how chill life is. You know, like. you can just get in a bus, sit down next to a stranger, and be like, man, I'll tell you this, man. And be like, yeah, it's so hot. So how's your day going? Just like all of a sudden, yeah. And then I don't know, everyone's friends with each other. There's not gonna be a single day you're gonna be walking the street and not recognize someone in the street. Like everyone knows each other. It's a huge party place.
I just think about like it's like a party every day.
Oh yeah, I miss it so much. Even like even if you're working or studying, like the environment, you know, like everything is so friendly. Yeah, I just miss it a lot. I miss the energy.
Okay. Yeah. Who's the Bolivian side of your family and the Japanese side?
So my father, he's Bolivian.
He's Bolivian.
Yeah, and my mother, she's Japanese.
Oh okay, got it. Okay, so I want to know how it was growing up, because I wonder if it's similar to how I grew up. But
I'm kind of curious. I want to know how you grew up.
I mean, I was born in the Philippines, uh-huh. and then I moved to the United States when I was 5.
Okay.
But in the house, it was very like Roman Catholic Filipino, large family. Outside the house, it was trying to, you know, meld with the, you know, suburban middle class American lifestyle.
Yeah.
So it was a really tough thing for me to figure out.
Yeah, it is.
I'm wondering.
I mean, for me, so inside the house, okay, so in Santa Cruz, the city that I was born and raised, we have this dish called majadito.
What is it?
Majadito. It's like a dish mixed with rice and then like meat. There's like, so everything is mixed, okay. You know? So basically my house and my mind was a majadito. Like everything was a mix of like everything. And like just putting two cultures, shaking it up, and then...
Who's cooking in the house?
So it was my mother and also a girl who used to come to our place to help us, and she's Bolivian. So everything was mixed, like, and I love the fact that she was the girl who used to work in my house. She used to try to prepare Japanese dishes, and she would also like add it some Bolivian taste flavor. So everything was a fusion. And
I'm just like smelling the herbs and spices.
Right now. And then breakfast was usually my father. So it was because my father. He went to the for uni to the US, so he wasn't too Bolivian, I would say. So even like his breakfast was like bacon, and we don't usually eat bacon in Bolivia, so it was like everything just so mixed.
Okay.
What else?
Did you have any like Japanese fusion type of dishes?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say like fusion, like Peruvian fusion sushi, but
what is that?
Like there is a lot of Japanese people, like a huge Japanese society in Peru as well, like Peru, Brazil, Paraguay, Bolivia.
I can imagine that ceviche is like amazing.
Oh my god! Please, can we just stop talking about food? I'm gonna start growing, and like my apple juice is gonna be all like full of saliva, and you don't wanna do. You don't know that. You don't wanna see that.
I'm just thinking. I'm like sense overload right now.
So today we're gonna be talking about Peru. You know, yesterday when. To the beach, I was eating lomo saltado, and that was the best thing ever.
Everyone, like, I feel like I talked to the people I talked today. Everyone went to the beach yesterday. And I'm like, what's going on?
What were you doing yesterday?
Sleeping.
What? That sounds like my Sunday.
It was my Saturday. But, like, okay, we're not talking about.
Okay, yeah, Peru or beach. Yeah.
So, okay, you grew up in Bolivia, you got this awesome, like, mix of really cool cultural influences from your parents. How did fashion come into your picture? Like, where was that spark for you?
That was when I was like 6, maybe 7. So my father, he started working out of the city that I was living. So I would spend all the rest of the day with my mother. She would take me to her office and I would sit down next to her whenever she was working. And because I will be bored, I would tell her like, I want to do something. And she said, okay, I'll give you a pen, a paper, and just, I don't know, sketch, draw, whatever. And I was like, Mom, can you teach me how to sketch? I was like, I'll teach you how to sketch, draw Snow White. How about that? And I was like, okay, cool. So I started doing that. And then the next day, I drew Snow White again. And the day after, the same thing. And after a week, the same thing. Until I got bored. And I told my mom, Mom, I want to do something else. Like, teach me, I don't know, Little Mermaid or whatever. And she said, Ellie, come on, use your imagination. Like, why don't you change the length of the skirt? Why don't you, you know, paint the sleeves with different colors? Like, use your imagination, have fun. Like,
was your mom also an artist too?
No, but she loves sketching, like mostly anime, I would say.
Anime?
Okay. Yeah, not so much, but she would, yeah. So she told me, Eddie, use your imagination, just have fun. And I felt so free, so free. Because, you know, I feel like growing up with Japanese and Bolivian culture, I was going to Bolivian school all the time. And Saturdays to Japanese school, so I was always surrounded by, you know, like, homework and learning languages and so,
I can imagine you being the very studious type. Like,
Really, I want to say there's a pretty stereotype Asian
kid. There's Asian-ness coming out.
Yeah. So, well, I was just there sketching. I felt so free.
Yeah.
So I told my mom, when I grow up, I want to be, you know, that person who sketches and makes dresses. And she was, Ellie, that's a fashion designer. So that's when I made up my mind, and I said, when I grow up, I want to be a fashion designer.
Were you into, like, clothes? Were you into, like, shopping for clothes?
Like, more than shopping, I feel like I was getting my clothes from cousins or friends of my mother's, you know, like, their kids. So, of course, I would enjoy going shopping, you know, like, see dresses, but I would just enjoy every day waking up and being like, I want to wear this today. I like how it matches with this.
Right.
So, yeah, and that's how everything born, like, me wanting to be a fashion designer. And since then, I remember my mom, she took me to the stationery and she got me my first sketchbook ever. And that's a moment I'll never forget. I appreciate and I thank my mom every single day because she got me into this.
So you got from Snow White to the sketchbook.
Yeah.
What were your first sketches in that sketchbook?
I have it somewhere in Bolivia. I actually want to ask my mom to, Mom, if you're listening to this podcast, please go in and find that sketchbook. It must be somewhere in, like, in the middle of three boxes that I live in Bolivia. Please, Mom. Yeah.
Okay, so you got that going, and then how did, you know, coming to Japan, like, were you thinking, because I don't know, what's the education for fashion in Bolivia like?
There's a few unis or, like, technical institutions, but honestly, there's great designers in Bolivia, but I feel like the technique when it comes to sewing or pattern making, there's still a long way, and I would love to bring Japanese technique into Bolivia. So, yeah, I mean, ever since I was a kid, I used to go with my mom to different Japanese culture events, and I'll see their kimonos, even like art craft, you know, it's like really komakai detail. So I'm always like, whoa, Japanese people, Japanese art and their technique, that's amazing, you know, like, it takes a lot of knowledge to get to do that. And I knew I could study fashion design in Bolivia, but even like within South America, I wouldn't say Bolivia is there as a fashion capital, you know? So, and also I was learning Japanese when I was a kid, so I told myself, if I'm learning, I wanna, you know, use it. So I came to Japan when I was 14 with a scholarship for a month.
Oh, okay.
And then when I was in that scholarship, a group of scholars from another place, they came to my scholarship and gave a talk about this beautiful scholarship that can sponsor you with 5 years of study with any field you want. So I raised my hand and I said, can I study fashion design with this scholarship? And they said, yeah, like, as long as you want to contribute, you know, Japanese and Bolivia, Nikkei society, or like Latino society, Nikkei society, just apply. So I told my mom, I want to go to Japan. I found a scholarship, and she told me about Bunka, the university that I went. So I connected everything, and when I was, 14, 15, I told my mom, okay, I know where I want to go, I know where I want to study, I know what I want to study that. And I don't know how that's gonna happen, but I'll make it happen.
14, I was like barely like, I hate you, mom. Like, I don't care what you think, I'm not gonna follow you. And you're sitting there like, you wanna go to Japan,
But to be honest, it's been a long journey. I feel like most of my teenage, I was just in my room, you know, trying to get my grades, you know, good, because if I needed to apply for a scholarship, I knew I needed my grades to be good. And I remember my brother, Shogo, the oldest, he told me, Eli, you want to get out of the country, you got to show it. Like, you got to prove yourself, and I know you can do it. It's not going to be easy, but you got this. But you have to study. The beginning was kind of tricky, because I was always with my family, with my mom, so just imagining a life far away from family, it's still being hard, but you know, if you want your dreams come true, sometimes you have to sacrifice things and go for it.
So, okay, what age were you when you...
When I got here? I was 17.
And then you just went straight into Kyoto?
So, in this scholarship, it was a whole year of Japanese classes.
Okay.
So, meanwhile, I was taking Japanese classes, I was applying for uni. And then 4 years of Bunga.
And now you just graduated, right?
I just graduated and I'm so glad. I'm sleeping.
So, you look like you're just like on top of the world right now. No. Really, I'm like, I don't need to give you any energy. But like, I was just looking at your ID fashion show.
Thank you.
And I was looking at this and I was just like, when I was watching this, I'm like, damn, this girl, she's got something going on. Like, you got this, you're really full on with doing runway. And when I saw your pieces, the first thing I noticed was, you've got like, you've definitely joined the traditional Bolivian clothing, like the colors, the color palette, and the patterns. You blend it with like almost like a, not a kimono style, but the lines look like traditional kimonos.
Yeah.
So I'm like, when I see something like this, I was like, it's got that Bolivian panaz in a very sophisticated dress piece. So I was like, all right, she's definitely earned her scholarship.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you can, you know, tell by just looking at it.
I'm not even a fashion guy. Like, I like fashion, of course, but like, I'm married a fashion designer. I just, when I see things like this, like when I see art, I'm like, okay, I just want to know the true story. Now, how accurate am I? Is this right?
It's like, that's Eli, 100%.
I feel like
my
it.
Identity.
Okay.
Because even the title, you know, it's ID.
ID. Yep.
And before, like for Nikkei, they used to call us Ainoko, which is son of love.
Okay.
And it was in a good way.
Okay.
You know, but I always thought, you know, if it's son of love, like there's nothing more beautiful than being born, because there was love between two, you know, like.
Right.
So I took the eye of love and made it like I, Romaji I. And then, you know, they keep us calling us half. And there's people out there who don't like being called half, you know, because you're just one person. So they started saying like, I'm 200. But for me, it's like, you know, 100, it's like unit. So to be honest, I don't mind being called half. Like, I want to change it, you know, like I want to change how people look at that half. So I draw a circle and I split it into the, you know, like half, and then you get the D.
Yes.
So that's how I came up with ID. Because people, they always ask me like, who are you? Do you identify yourself as a Bolivian or a Japanese? Show me your ID. And I always get nervous when I get questions like that, because I keep asking myself, what's my identity? So I wanted to embrace that in the collection.
When you came to Japan, because I completely agree with you, and with my job, I constantly teach, don't say half, say, I think the better word is mixed, just mixed, I think is better. But like, for you coming to Japan, did you find any, not stress, but did you find any struggle with like, you know, hey, I have Japanese, like I know Japanese.
Yeah,
I have Japanese.
I feel like until today, you know, there is a lot of expectations when you're half. You know, because oh yeah, if your mom or your dad or your grandpa or your grandma was Japanese, I guess you know like Japanese, or you know Japanese culture, or you can kukiyomu, like you know, like really Japanese mindset. But I was born and raised in Bolivia, so I know I'm way more Latino.
You can't hide that.
Yeah, I cannot hide sabor. You know, but also like when I was in Bolivia, I was finding it pretty hard because I was growing up with a Japanese mom. So inside of the house, we always say arigato, itadakimasu, and I will never be Bolivian enough, you know, 100% Bolivia back in Bolivia. And I'm not 100% Japanese here. So it's a constant battle, even for me right now, like working at a Japanese company. Like, you know, they think and expect that I'm gonna be Japanese, but I'm not Japanese. So it's kind of hard, but I mean, just try to use it as positive as you can.
Showing your craft.
Yeah.
That's the answer. And you, I think it's in front of you. Showing your craft. Because everything else doesn't matter.
But yeah.
Once you found your path, and then that's why I talk about this a lot with other guests too, where what's beautiful about Japan is once you have the community understand what your goals are or what your passion is, you know, when they finally see and they see that you are like I'm going for it, like I'm sure. I love how the Japanese community just all of a sudden backs you. They start supporting you when they see you doing what you really, really love doing.
Yeah.
And that's something that should never, I mean, it's I feel like a privilege to get that backing in Japan, you know?
It's so nice.
You know? Because like, back home it's like fighting. Like, if you're in the city, whether you're in New York, you want to make your own identity. In LA, you want to become famous, you know, like San Francisco, you want to be in the in crowd, you know. I think in Japan, it's so much harder, but the reward of that community backing is just, it's priceless.
Well, yeah, I don't know, like...
That sounds like an advertising.
A little bit. I mean, in my perspective...
Visa.
Yeah, give me the visa. Like in my perspective,
but yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty hard getting into the Japanese community. I feel like if you're not like fully Japanese, born and raised here, it's really tough. But once you get inside, it feels like home if you get it. But to be honest, it's pretty hard.
That breaking that barrier
is hard.
A tough thing.
It's hard.
I know. Yeah. But I think you have it though. I mean, I'm looking at your dressing work, you know. Nothing can stop you now. You're at that moment, right? So what is the next step?
What's the next step? So I'm slowly I thought about working on my brand. I don't know, maybe like another country when I like in 10 years, because I want to take things easily and I want to raise a brand as if it was my kid. It's gonna be my kid for the rest of my life. But I changed my mind and I want to start working on my brand from now, like slowly, step by step. So right now I'm working about the logo, brand name, how it's gonna be the phone, how it's gonna be the website, what kind of things that I can do. I'm trying to do some freelance pattern making dresses, designing, illustrations.
Is it continuing with your story? Is it continuing with?
It's always gonna be me. Like I'm not gonna change that. Like I wanna be a voice for the Nikkei community. You know, there's out there, you know, people half, you know, trying to bring both communities. So I'll always try to embrace that. Or if I cannot embrace like culture things, I wanna embrace to be human and show your emotions. I'll show you the instructions later. We can do another podcast because that's it. I'm ready for it.
It's to me, when you talk about Nikkei and then like mixed Japanese, I love the celebration of it. I love the fact that, you know, it's the past decade, it's slowly just the celebration of being, you know, having that Japanese identity and your other culture's identity, whatever mixes. I just love people like you championing, you know, being a champion of it, you know, like just take it and just be like, this is me. We need more of this. Yes, and that's why I do this podcast.
This is like, to be honest, like through the scholarship that I came to Japan, so it's for Nikkeis, and I met so many like talented souls in there, and wow, like I'm so excited to see everyone, you know, pursuing their dreams. Hopefully someday I can bring any of them to this podcast.
Nice.
There is a lot out there.
Yeah, just tell them to make a list, Ellie.
I will. I'll be in the background just like laughing and doing the noises.
As my previous guest.
Yeah. Oh, that pizza looks good. Sorry guys, no pizza for you.
Yeah. A little sponsor spot.
Give me the visa. A pizza. Pizza, you know.
Pizza is very good. But yeah, one more thing before we go though is, you know, we show your passion of fashion. I see you doing a lot of runway, but so I'm thinking right now, this could be a little bit more serious, but I'm thinking right now about the state of the fashion industry in Japan right now.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, we talk about sustainability, and I know you are a champion of sustainability.
I wouldn't say champion, but I'm trying to be,
but like, I'm seeing, well, I honestly don't know what the youth are into right now with fashion, like how they're thinking about fashion, but I do see, you know, young people buying clothes and not keeping them.
Yeah, I mean like fast fashion.
Yeah, with the fast fashion stuff. And I want to know, what's your take on this?
Okay. So,
I know, I'm sorry, I'm opening up big.
Yeah, it's a huge. That's podcast number 3.
I just wanted to know what you think.
So, I'm just gonna start from saying fashion industry is never gonna be 100% sustainable. Because you're talking about production and you're making stuff. Mm. So, that's the base.
Yeah.
It's never gonna be all green.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's a chain, you know. Like producers, they cannot produce something completely eco, completely friendly, because it gets really expensive. And then people who are buying, consumers, they cannot afford it, and they're asking for something cheaper. So then, like designers and producers are like, okay, because the target is like this, because the market is asking for this, we have to lower our cost with materials. We cannot get everything green, because it's a lot of technology. Then we can make something cheaper, getting like labor a bit cheaper as well. So it's like a constant change. And if you don't break it, like as a designer or as a consumer, it's never gonna stop. And I bet it's never gonna be green.
Yeah.
But we can slowly make it a bit better and less harmful for the environment.
I just wonder, you know, for people who are really into fashion, I wonder what are their goals when they think about fashion, you know? When I think about fashion, it's, you know, we wear clothes to, you know, express our mood, right? To express how we feel, right?
Yeah.
And some people probably don't care. I mean, they just wear for just comfort.
Yeah.
That's all. But especially for people who are really into fashion these days, I honestly don't know. Because I came to Japan during like the last of like that Shibuya Kei, Harajuku, like vibe.
Yeah.
Where back in the day, this is like 20 years ago, like, it was wild. And like, so I came in just at the end of Yumamba, the Gango, it's like the girls would just have the tan legs and the loose socks.
Super makeup, pink, yeah, and like beige.
Like they're in a freaking anime video game.
Yeah.
Yamamba, or like the
Yeah.
I came in like, like during the
end of that. Have
you ever tried? I'm like, whoa, what is
dressing,
going on?
Yeah. Wearing something like that? I bet you have a picture. You don't want to show it to me.
But after that, it was kind of just, when that ended, I just felt like there was nothing left.
Let's see. I feel like fashion is like circle. Everything, you know, like all. Yeah, it's going to revolve.
I hear 80s is back, which is good for me. Just
2000
is now into it now?
Yeah. You'll see like those mini skirts and everything, you know, no cut.
Oh, yeah, the midriffs. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not ready for that. I like eating way too much. Okay. Oh, it's good. Pizza's good.
But I was like, I'm an 80s baby, so I was like, oh, yeah, the 80s are back. For like a short minute.
Don't worry, it's gonna come back again. Like, everything keeps coming. So that's why don't throw your clothes, because everything comes back. And take care of it, because there was someone else making them for you. So.
But I'm starting to see now like the 90s grunge look is coming as well, like a little bit of it.
Yeah, it was like 90, 2000. Even like right now it's more into 2000, I would say. But
Well, anyways, I'm so glad that you came in and just kind of shine a light about like your story, and I just want to say thank you, Ellie, for coming on.
No, thank you, Mel.
I really want to try Bolivian food.
Please come.
I purposely just waited at the end of this episode to like feel like just want to eat Bolivian food.
I'm gonna be showing you some pictures.
I did my homework and I was looking at some Bolivian food. And I'm like, damn, this is like really good-looking food. Oh my gosh, like, what is this spider?
Salteña? Oh, salteña. Yeah.
It looks like a Jamaican beef patty, but it looks better than that.
So there's a Bolivian girl here in Japan. Yeah. Her name is Jimena, and like she prepares good salteña. So I'm gonna send you.
Show me the way.
Yeah.
Show me the way to the promised land.
You've been missing a lot here. I don't know. To be honest, like first of all, why were you sleeping yesterday? That's a Sunday to ask.
I usually sleep on Saturday.
You know, it's the beach and Salteña's day.
Okay, got it. This summer holiday, Salteña's and the beach.
Yes. Guys, learn, please. Salteña's and beaches, please.
Oh man, thank you so much, Ellie.
Thank you so much, Mel, for having us. And I mean, I'm gonna thank for all of us.
Yeah.
Thank you for, you know, creating this space to give us a voice and, you know, a space to share our experiences and our background. And I'm just so excited to see this podcast growing and growing. Oh, and I'm gonna be bringing a lot of people here.
Okay.
So I'm excited.
Well, you're definitely allowed to come back.
Number 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. And then I'm gonna get hungry again. But
I'm looking at that pizza and that looks good. Sorry guys, I'm talking about pizza the whole episode, but it looks good.
There we go. Thanks, Ellie.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You can contact and find more of Ellie's clothing designs and artwork on her Instagram pages. Her main one she uses is @_ElieTamo_. So that's @_ELITAMO_. You are listening to Made in Japan podcast, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. To get in touch with me, you can email me at japanmademepodcast@gmail.com, or you can often find me on my Instagram and Facebook @MadeInJapanPodcast. And also, don't forget to download or subscribe to wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it's Apple, Spotify, or other podcast media players. Feel free to leave a review, and yes, tell me what you think. And I hope all of you are having a wonderful summer, and stay tuned until I come back again for another rad episode. Peace out.